It's Thursday, the 17th of July, 2025, and you're listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman, in Flagstaff, bringing you these headlines from the WilliamsNews.com website. White Sage fire forces evacuations. Dragon Bravo destroys structures. Second, the fire that destroyed Grand Canyon Lodge spread after being allowed to burn for days. And then, Desiree Crawford appointed to Williams Unified School District Board. Our first headline from the 15th of July is by Calvin Shoemaker. White Sage fire forces evacuations. Dragon Bravo destroys structures. The White Sage fire near Jacob Lake, Arizona, is burning up swaths of the Kaibab National Forest north of the Grand Canyon. Ignited on July 9th by lightning about 15 miles southwest of Fredonia, the White Sage fire has spread eastward, crossing Highway 89A in between Fredonia and Jacob Lake, and has prompted the closure of 89A southbound at State Route 389 in Fredonia. Northbound 89A is closed at Hatch Way near Cliff Dwellers Lodge. Coconino County said Monday that the road and businesses from Bitter Springs to Cliff Dwellers remain open. On July 11th, evacuation orders went out that extend from the Grand Canyon's north rim to the Utah border. The evacuation zone is still in effect and extends east to House Rock Valley Road, Buffalo Ranch Road, and west to the Kaibab National Forest boundary. In a daily fire update Tuesday, July the 15th, the Bureau of Land Management and U.S. Forest Service reported that the fire had grown to nearly 52,000 acres with 0% containment. Officials say aircraft dropped nearly 180,000 gallons of fire retardant along the southern and northern perimeter Sunday. The line on the west side near White Sage continues to hold well, according to Tuesday's update, which said the southeast portion is most active. The majority of firefighting resources are deployed in that area near Jacob Lake. A camp has been set up nearby where crews are staying overnight. The White Sage fire had 572 personnel assigned to it as of Tuesday. Destruction reported at Grand Canyon's North Rim. The White Sage fire is a separate incident from the Dragon Bravo fire, which torched more than 70 North Rim structures over the weekend, including the Grand Canyon Lodge and the water treatment facility, which released chlorine gas. An update Tuesday from the National Park Service and Southwest Area Complex Incident Management Team said the leak has stopped. A local hazardous materials response team assessed a weekend chlorine gas leak and found the aerial release of chemicals has ceased, and air samples found no detectable levels of hazardous vapors remaining in the immediate area, the update said. Grand Canyon National Park has closed all inner canyon corridor trails, campgrounds, and associated areas, including the North Kaibab Trail, South Kaibab Trail, Bright Angel Trail below Havasupai Gardens, Phantom Ranch, and Bright Angel Campground. The North Rim is now closed for the season. Ignited by lightning on July the 4th, Dragon Bravo was initially managed as a controlled burn, but got out of control and has since grown to more than 8,500 acres with 0% containment as of Tuesday. According to the Grand Canyon River Guide's newsletter, river trips are still happening and Lee's Ferry remains open. Trip exchanges are to be held at Pipe Creek. Settling smoke created very unhealthy to hazardous air quality in the canyon Tuesday morning. Moderate air quality is forecast for areas near the fires, including Page, Tuba City, and Grand Canyon Village. Both fires remain active incidents. Officials are providing daily updates on the web and social media. No human injuries or fatalities have been reported. To see the evacuation zone, you can visit emergency Coconino County, that's one word, Coconino County, .hub.arcgis.com. To sign up for Coconino County Emergency Alerts, visit www.coconino.az.gov/ready. Additional information on wildfires can be found at www.inciweb, and that's spelled INCIWEB, .wildfire.gov. That's White Sage Fire forces evacuations. Dragon Bravo destroys structures. Our next headline, the fire that destroyed Grand Canyon Lodge spread after being allowed to burn for days. A wildfire destroyed a historic Grand Canyon Lodge and is continuing to spread out of control Monday after it had been allowed to burn for days. This is from the 15th of July by Alicia Fonseca, Jamie Ding, and John Sewer of the Associated Press. Flagstaff. A wildfire that tore through an historic Grand Canyon Lodge and raged out of control Monday had been allowed to burn for days before erupting over the weekend, raising scrutiny over the National Park Service's decision not to aggressively attack the fire right away. The wildfire along the canyon's more isolated north rim, where most visitors don't venture, was burning quickly with no containment, fire officials said. No injuries had been reported, but more than 70 structures were lost, including a visitor center and several cabins. At first, the fire didn't raise alarms after igniting from a lightning strike on July the 4th. 4 days later, the Park Service said, the fire was being allowed to burn to benefit the land and fire crews were keeping close watch. There are no threats to infrastructure or public safety at this time, the park said on Facebook. Then, 3 days later, on Friday, fire officials and the Park Service sent out warnings to evacuate immediately as the fire grew by nearly 8 times within a day to more than 1.4 square miles. Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs called for a federal investigation into the Park Service's handling of the fire. The federal government chose to manage that fire as a controlled burn during the driest, hottest part of the Arizona summer, the governor said in a social media post Sunday. Authorities first used a confine and contain strategy, but shifted to aggressive suppression as the fire, one of two that firefighters are dealing with on the North Rim, rapidly grew because of hot temperatures, low humidity, and strong wind gusts, fire officials said. The Associated Press left phone and email messages Monday with a Park Service spokesperson seeking comment about how the fire was managed. The fire destroyed the Grand Canyon Lodge, the only lodging inside the park's north rim, along with employee housing and a wastewater treatment plant, Park Superintendent Ed Keeble said Sunday. Park officials have closed access for the rest of the year to the North Rim, a less popular area that draws only about 10% of the Grand Canyon's millions of annual visitors. Hikers in the area were evacuated, and rafters on the Colorado River, which snakes through the canyon, were told to bypass Phantom Ranch, an outpost of cabins and dormitories. Trails to the area from the canyon's north and south rims also were closed. From the air, plumes of black smoke could be seen rising above canyon walls and haze filled parts of the park. The fire flared up Saturday night, fueled by high winds. Firefighters managed to make progress using aerial fire retardant drops near the lodge before they had to pull back because of a chlorine gas leak at the water treatment plant, the Park Service said. Hikers also were evacuated over concerns that the poisonous, heavier-than-air gas could sink downhill into the canyon. Fire season in the western U.S. Across the west, about 36 fires were burning uncontained, and another 80 fires were being managed to clear out vegetation that has clogged the landscape, according to the National Interagency Fire Center in Boise, Idaho. So far this year, nearly 2.5 million acres have burned. That's slightly below the 10-year average, the center said Monday. A wildfire burning in southwestern Colorado closed Black Canyon of the Gunnison National Park and forced evacuations nearby. It had burned about 5.7 square miles as of Monday. The fire was started by lightning Thursday on the park's south rim, a dramatic deep gorge carved by the Gunnison River. Fire officials said the brush and trees were very dry. There was only a minimal chance for rain in the coming days. Colorado Governor Jared Polis issued a disaster declaration because of the fire and others in western Colorado. Along the Grand Canyon's north rim, the Dragon Bravo fire that destroyed the lodge and other buildings spread to nearly 9 square miles Monday. The White Sage fire also grew significantly over the past day, now having charred 77 square miles of terrain with no containment. Officials reported progress in battling the fire, but evacuations. History of the Grand Canyon Lodge. The Grand Canyon Lodge, known for its huge ponderosa beams, massive limestone facade, and a bronze statue of a donkey named Brighty the Burro, was perched on the edge of North Rim and offered sweeping views of the canyon. "It was like you were looking at this movie all the time," said Eric Amaran, who lived in Arizona for most of his adult life and stayed at the lodge nearly 10 years ago. "You're really just one with nature." Karen Carney was staying there last week with her husband, parents, and 12-year-old son when a park ranger knocked on their door Thursday and told them to evacuate. She was heartbroken Sunday to hear that such a magical place had burned down. After evacuating, the family from Georgia went to the South Rim and could see the blaze from across the canyon. "I'm so glad we got to have one final look at it in the present before it was lost," Carney said. Aramark, the company that operated the lodge, said all employees and guests were safely evacuated. An original lodge burned down from a kitchen fire in 1932, 4 years after construction was completed, according to the Grand Canyon Historical Society. The redesigned lodge, using the original stonework, opened in 1937. In that article, the fire that destroyed Grand Canyon Lodge spread after being allowed to burn for days. You're listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. And if you've ever wanted to listen to Northland Views at other than the time that it streams, you can go to the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org. There you'll find not only access to the stream, but also to the rest of Sun Sounds of Arizona programming, available at a time of your choosing. That same availability is on the Sun Sounds of Arizona app, which can be downloaded for your iPad or iPhone from the Apple App Store, or for your Android phone or tablet from the Google Play Store. And of course, you can always listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot or Echo. Our next article is from the 15th of July. Desiree Crawford appointed to Williams Unified School District Board. This is by Calvin Shoemaker. The Williams Unified School District No. 2 Governing Board has a new member. Desiree Crawford took the oath of office on July the 10th after being appointed to the board by Coconino County Superintendent of Schools Cheryl Mango Paget. A resident of Williams for about 2 years, Crawford has 20 years of experience in the banking industry where she has worked in leadership decision-making roles. "I've always been very good at driving a team and making sure that we reach the biggest potential we can," Crawford said. "My goal with the school district is to really just listen to where we're at, learn how we can grow, and help develop a strategy and a plan to get us to where we want to be." As a Williams School Board member, Crawford said she is specifically looking forward to working to improve parent involvement and communication, while also fostering growth within the district. "I have that drive to want to be involved and really help see things reach their potential and do bigger, greater things," Crawford said. With anything, there's the opportunity for growth, and that goes for our school district as well. When asked what she likes about living in Williams, Crawford said, "The sense of community. It's got this sense of belonging," Crawford said. "I really feel accepted, and it's refreshing to have that compassion and be in a place where that humanity exists." Crawford replaces former board member John Romero, who resigned his seat in May after being terminated from the Williams Police Department amid a use of force investigation. Crawford's term will expire December 31st, 2026. And that's Desiree Crawford, appointed to Williams Unified School District Board. Our next article, Grand Canyon Historical Society holds annual picnic and awards ceremony. This is by Calvin Shoemaker from the 15th of July. As the Dragon Bravo fire burned on the horizon Saturday, July the 12th, the Grand Canyon Historical Society held its annual picnic and awards ceremony at Shoshone Point. With the severity of the fire's destruction not yet known, members of the society sat together over hot dogs and hamburgers, sharing stories, laughs, and the camaraderie of loving all things Grand Canyon. The following day, it was widely reported that many North Rim structures, including the historic lodge, were lost in the fire. But despite the tragedy that was unfolding on the North Rim on that Saturday afternoon at Shoshone Point, at least for a few hours, the focus was on the Historical Society and its annual awards recipients. Vales receives Hall of Fame honors. John and Clorinda Vale of Tucson received the Historical Society's 27th Annual Grand Canyon Hall of Fame Award for community service. The couple has sponsored many fundraisers and community events over the years, according to Susie Verkamp, Hall of Fame Awards Committee Chair, who presented the award. "When something needs to get done, if you call on John or Clorinda, they're going to be there," Verkamp said. Tucson Mayor Clorinda Vale attended Grand Canyon Schools and has served on the boards of the school district, Kaibab Learning Center, and numerous nonprofits, including the Grand Canyon Food Pantry, Chamber of Commerce, and Rotary Club. John Vale has served on the board of the Tucson Fire and Sanitary Districts and is a teaching artist in the Grand Canyon Music Festival's School of Rock program for local students. He also performs at community events and is known for playing taps at Graveside Services for veterans. Myers makes history with Pioneer Award. Dr. Tom Myers, author and longtime physician at the Grand Canyon Clinic, received the Pioneer Award, becoming the first person in history to earn both the Hall of Fame and Pioneer Awards. Receiving the honor meant a great deal to Myers, who says he isn't that far away from hanging up his stethoscope for good. "For people that devote their life to the place, the landscape, and whatever endeavor they choose, whether it's exploration or writing, this is like our Nobel Prize, in my opinion, when it comes to history," Myers said. In addition to being a writer and historian, Myers is a canyon explorer, wilderness medicine educator, and a medical advisor to the National Park Service. He practiced medicine full-time at Grand Canyon from 1990 to 1999 and has been a part-time doctor at the park ever since. As a child growing up in Flagstaff, his mother would bring him and his siblings to Mather Campground every summer, an experience that led to a lifelong love of the canyon. Myers has long been a core member of the Historical Society, serving as a board member from 2001 to 2004. Capturing human stories about the canyon is a desire his membership helped inspire. "My interest has mostly been exploration on foot, the connection to the place, and what makes people want to hike in there," Myers said. "There's a kindredship in those of us who do that, and I really wanted to make sure that some of the stories of those who are gone now, some of the canyon greats, that those stories weren't lost." A new era. Founded in 1984 as the Grand Canyon Pioneers Society, the nonprofit organization was renamed in 2002 to better reflect its emphasis on history. According to geologist Wayne Rennie, board member and chair of the Pioneer Award, the organization continues to evolve as it hopes to gain membership from a younger demographic. The Society has revamped its website and increased engagement on social media, most notably with its YouTube channel. The digital media push is one way the Society is aiming to pique the interest of its next generation of stewards. It's a little bit difficult to get young people interested in history because they haven't lived it yet, Ranney said. But the sooner we can get people interested in history, the sooner they'll be able to understand their place in that history, and that's what we'd love to do if we can. The Grand Canyon Historical Society has nearly 300 dues-paying members, Ranney said. The organization holds monthly virtual outings streamed on YouTube and has hosted six history symposiums, which are held every 5 years. The next one is scheduled for 2027. To learn more, visit Grand Canyon History, that's all one word, grandcanyonhistory.org, or find Grand Canyon History on social media. And that's Grand Canyon Historical Society holds annual picnic and awards ceremony. Our next article, Sanders named Lions Club 2025 Citizen of the Year. This is from the 15th of July. The Williams Lions Club recognizes Danielle Sanders as the 2025 Citizen of the Year. As the Williams librarian, Sanders has revitalized the Williams Public Library and brought in many new programs, classes, and educational opportunities for adults and the youth. She is also a mother who volunteers, serves a major leadership role in local youth sports programs, and is known locally as a great role model. That information was provided by the Williams Lions Club for Sanders named Lions Club 2025 Citizen of the Year. Our next article is from the Navajo Hopi Observer from the 15th of July. Supai man found dead in jail cell. The Coconino County Sheriff's Office reported the death of Falcon Watahomegi, 43, of Supai, Arizona, on July the 2nd. At approximately 7:48 a.m., detention officers discovered Watahomegi unresponsive in his cell at the Coconino County Detention Center in Flagstaff. According to the sheriff's office, detention officers went to fingerprint and photograph Watahomegi before his initial court appearance and thought he was sleeping, but on closer inspection had died from an apparent suicide. When they went into his cell, he appeared to be sleeping. When they called out to him to wake up and come out, he did not respond, the sheriff's office said in a press release. When our officers attempted to physically wake him, they turned him onto his side and discovered that he had tied his jumpsuit around his neck. The sheriff's office said that officers immediately called for medical and additional staff for assistance and did CPR and other life-saving measures until personnel from Guardian Medical Transport and Flagstaff Fire Department arrived and took over. Emergency medical personnel performed CPR until 8:21 a.m., they said, at which time Watahomegi was declared dead. Watahomegi had been arrested on July the 1st by the Arizona Department of Public Safety and was being held on a misdemeanor warrant for failure to appear for domestic violence assault with a $2,100 bond. Watahomegi was housed in a cell by himself and was not on a suicide watch. No foul play is suspected. The death is currently under investigation by the Sheriff's Office Criminal Investigation Division and a pending autopsy and review by the Coconino County Medical Advisor. And that's Supai Man found dead in jail cell. In the few minutes that we have remaining here, I'll hit some items from the community calendar week of July the 16th. First, Williams Yacht Club Membership Drive, Sunday, July 20th from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Sultana. There'll be a community forum on child care. Parents, providers, and community partners who care about access to affordable, quality child care are encouraged to attend this forum to be held at Williams City Hall from 5 to 7 p.m. on Monday, July the 21st. For more, you can email J. Palomino, and that's J-P-A-L-O-M-I-N-O, at azeconcenter.org. Adopt a Highway Cleanup, Saturday, July the 26th, from 9 to 11 a.m. near the Chevron on Highway 64. Vests and collection gear provided. Be held in honor of Jabez. The NACOG Head Start and Early Head Start. Early Childhood School Readiness Program services are now available. You can call 928-635-4273. There'll be a free swim day, swim for free, at the Williams Aquatic Center on July 26. And for more info, you can call the pool at 928-635-3005. Steam Saturday. Join the Grand Canyon Railway's ride to Grand Canyon National Park. It's powered by fully restored vintage steam locomotives. It'll be departing at 9:30 a.m. on August the 2nd. Storytime. Visit the Williams Public Library with your little ones to listen to a fun story and stay for a fun craft, activity, and yummy snack. Dates this month are July 18th at 2 p.m. and July 26th at 12 p.m. To learn more, you can contact the library at 928-635-2263. And then finally, we have the Lego Lab. The Williams Public Library Lego Lab will meet at the library on July 26th from 3 to 4 p.m. And that's all we have time for Community Calendar Week of July 16th. You've been listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. I'd like to thank you for joining me for this edition of Northland Views, news of Williams and the Grand Canyon from the WilliamsNews.com website. Remember, you can listen to Northland Views and other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming streaming on the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org or on the Sun Sounds of Arizona app available from the Apple App Store for your iPad or iPhone or the Google Play Store for your Android phone or tablet. And you can always listen to the Sun Sounds of Arizona stream on your Amazon Dot or Echo.